Hey, what's up? I'm Jerry.
Oh, hi there. I'm Al.
And we do a podcast like almost every day, but not quite.
It's the Al and Jerry post-game podcast. We really started it to talk about things we didn't get to on the Boomer and Geo show, but now it's really just us talking about robots, rats in New York City, and dumb people in Florida.
And porn sites that do studies and polls.
Yes, studies and polls. You can download and subscribe on radio.com and the new radio.com app.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Oh, welcome into the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He's in studio. In studio,
yeah,
Tom
in
Swiddle.
Studio today.
How you doing, pal?
Good.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. Man, you look good. I got to tell you, that tan,
yeah.
You know.
Guy called, with a, who was the head lifeguard on that show that used to be...
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, that's who Will called me. He said, you look like David Hasselhoff. And I said, I think you're ripping on me, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Hey, let's get this out of the way. You were supposed to be up at Camp Randall.
Yeah.
The promo said, hey, we're going to talk to a bunch of these guys. You're going to be at the spring game. And really late in this process, they came back and said, we couldn't have you up there.
This was actually weeks in the making. All right. I mean, honestly, from the time I first reached out to Wisconsin until we got permission, which was Wednesday, to do the show on Wednesday, it was about a four-week process of back and forth, et cetera. Anyway, so, yeah, we had it all set up. We were going to be at practice today.
Yep.
And literally, as I'm driving to Madison on Thursday for the clinic, I got an email that said, we cannot do the show at the practice as planned, because of the compliance office said that we couldn't do the show. So the only thing I can think of, Mike, is that we would have given Wisconsin like an unfair recruiting advantage or something by doing the show there, because we, you know, obviously everybody across the country is listening.
Of course they are. And we, all those five-star guys going to Alabama would now turn around and come to Wisconsin. Well, I'm happy you're here. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has.
And it's time for us to start talking football again, which I love. Let me run down today's show, by the way. 10:15, we're going to talk to Dan Brunner, who's the executive director, WFCA. John Hoke, president-elect, and he is up at Lancaster High School, correct?
Correct.
Mike Bartholomew going in the Hall of Fame tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
Yeah, he's in town.
He is in town, and like I said, he's got a nice tan like yourself.
Well, he's a Vegas
guy
now.
He's a Vegas guy now, yeah.
Yeah, Doug Sarver's going to join us at 11 o'clock. He is the president of the All-Star game, the chairman of that. We'll talk to him. Don Kenzior?
Kenzior.
Kenzior from Luck High School going in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he's Mr. Eight-Man Football in the state.
Man, that's awesome. I look forward to talking to him.
Yeah.
And then Tony Biola, past president. He's the Combine's coming up.
Right.
He's a Wisconsin Rapids guy, and we're going to talk to him about the Combine. But before that, let's talk a little bit about this weekend. How's the clinic been going?
I think it was an outstanding clinic. You know, it's a little different because typically on Saturday we have speakers, but because of the Badger practice, we didn't schedule anything for that this morning. So, you know, anticipating all the coaches would be going to the practice. But you know, it was kind of a funny week for us in that a lot of schools' spring breaks fell this week.
Right.
So guys that I would always see at the clinic, some of them were not there because they were with their family on vacation.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, Mike, to see how that may have affected our numbers. It didn't seem like, to me, noticeably, just, you know, you get used to the crowds at a clinic.
And sure.
It didn't look any less to me, but there were some familiar faces that weren't there because of that.
Boy, you had some really good headliners.
Oh, man. Last night, in fact, I introduced and hosted for Gus Bradley, the Los Angeles Chargers defensive coordinator. Mike, I have never seen a more dynamic speaker. I'd have to go back to an old remember the Journal Sentinel? At that time, the Journal did their all conference stuff, and they would get like speakers, and they would get all the players and stuff. I heard Bart Starr speak one time, and he was outstanding, right? But Gus Bradley was absolutely outstanding last night, and just had people riveted. He was like, afterwards, you just wanted to go out and coach, you know.
You know, for me, going to basketball clinics, Jimmy Valvano.
Yeah.
He followed Lute Olson, who was at Arizona, and Lute was very dry and very professional, and he had his board and he talked about specific. And then Valvano got up and he said, "Hey, is Lute? Are you still in the room, Lute? You here? No." Forget about everything he said. He said, you know what? You want to win games, go out and get good players.
Yeah.
He said, now don't go out and get them the way they said I got them. And then he went into Vince Lombardi.
Oh, my.
He talked about Vince Lombardi and what impact Vince Lombardi had on Valvano's life.
Yeah.
Not only through his father, but through the books. And he modeled himself kind of like that.
Yeah.
And how he thought Vince would handle stuff. It was really – and at the end – he'd spent 5 minutes on how be a better coach, be a better man, be a better father, be a better husband. And you wanted to run through the wall for the guy.
Right.
Similar to what you're talking about with Gus Bradley.
Well, and Gus Bradley did the same thing. He talked about those influences that he had, guys like Pete Carroll, you know, guys like Monty Kiffin. You know, I mean, just names you know from football.
Right.
You know, and he didn't want me to, like, introduce him with his background. He's just a really humble guy. I mean, this guy's been a head coach in the NFL.
Older guy or?
No. He graduated from North Dakota State, I want to say, in the late 80s.
Okay.
You know, so he's not that old,
right.
You know. But he's had a lot of experiences. Anyway, he didn't want me to talk about any of that. Oh, don't, you know, you don't have to bring that up, you know, when I was with Tampa or, you know, the Jacksonville, whatever. But I had to read a quote, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something to the effect like he was at Tampa Bay working with Monty Kiffin, who's a great defensive coordinator, right? And Jim Mora got the job for the Seahawks. And Monty Kiffin, on his own, called Jim Mora to talk about Gus Bradley.
Okay.
And basically the quote was something to the effect like he's one of the finest, if not the finest coach I've ever been around. He's an A-plus coach.
Wow.
You have to talk to this guy.
Wow.
You know, what an endorsement.
What an endorsement, for sure. Hey, a lot of other things going on up at the clinic. And look, anytime we have coaches, college coaches from all over the country that come on the high school football show I do, and we talk to them about different stuff, they come back to they talk about the clinic.
Yeah,
and they say, "Hey, how was the clinic this year? I didn't get there this year, but I've been there in the past, and it's just the best high school football clinic in the country." And this is from guys from around the country.
Yeah, we have that reputation, and we're very proud of it. We have the largest football-only clinic in the country. I mean, we're going to have, even when our numbers, it might not be what it's been in past years, but it's still going to be over 3,000 coaches.
Wow,
will have been there.
Hey, and I was on the phone like 2 minutes after you got the news that you had to come in studio with me.
Yeah.
And, boy, you sounded chipper. Sounded just chipper, Mr.
You got to fire up. It's like 2 days of just nonsense, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Ingrid was in the car. She was giggling a little bit.
She was.
She was giggling a little bit. Hey, some of the other people, the headliners, Paul Christ, he spoke.
Yes.
Right? John Settle.
Yes.
Scott Peters. Bobby April Jr., who is LSU special teams, and he is an NFL special teams coach as well, in 2004 through 2008.
Yeah, he was coach. He was a special teams coach in the NFL twice.
Really?
Bobby April, yeah. And his son is on the Badger staff.
Ah. So these guys, big draws, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody ask? Can you ask questions and stuff like this?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anybody ask Paul Chris who the starting quarterback is?
Nobody asked that question
because he's not answering it.
No, no.
If he knows who it is, he's not saying.
Yeah, you get kind of a state of Wisconsin football address with Paul every year, which is really nice. And then something that I enjoy because you know I still have a player at Wisconsin who's playing, but they go through all the state players and they have a picture of them. Yeah, individual picture of every player with their high school coach's name on there. They do the entire – every kid from the state, you know, gets that.
Wow.
And it's really neat. And, you know, to sit in the audience and, you know, to be able to, you know, there's my guy, you know, there's my name.
Right.
It just has to make everybody feel good in the room.
Oh, there's no doubt. Hey, let's get this out of the way. No longer the head coach at Milwaukee Tech.
No longer.
Decided to step down.
I stepped down about a month ago. Yeah.
And for various reasons, you and I have had this conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, how is it going to be the second time around, do you think, for you? As far as, are you retired now? Or are you going to be coaching?
I have no plans. I'm laying low. You know, I don't have any plans that I'm going to jump back in.
Phone been ringing?
Yes.
I bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Your phone's going to ring more now.
Yes.
Because some of the guys who might not know that you've stepped down, if you know that there's 50 people you could call if you wanted to continue.
And, right. And I've had, you know, really great people who have approached me and you know, hey, I heard and you know that. We've always got a spot for you. I just don't know what I want to do yet. You know, I'm stepping back, you know, and you know, it for me, and I have to say this, you know, it was a great experience at Tech for me. It really was. And we worked really hard. And for me, my biggest goal there was to give the kids at Tech the exact same experience that a player at Brookfield East would have or Wauwatosa East or any other places I've been, right?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted that kind of quality program, and it's just very difficult to do that. And that's not the reason I left, believe me. I left because, I mean, I was willing to come back. I wanted to come back. We had worked really hard, and I would describe our progress as very small, tiny baby steps. You know, I mean, we were starting to get there, but it's a struggle. You know, the kids don't come to practice. They don't come to workouts, you know, and anyway, you know, I didn't have a pass to get in the building. You know, I didn't have a key to the room or the ice machine. I mean, just little things that I couldn't run off stuff there. You know, I mean, just little things that would just, not to make my job easier, but just come on, you know, support the program.
Hey, Tom, you know what? I've coached at a lot of places.
Yeah.
And I know I've coached at places where the administration, they're okay that you're there, but they're not buying in. And I've now, Martin Luther has an administration, and I've told these guys this, that are fully, fully invested in making your program successful. What can we do to help you?
Yeah.
How can we help you? Now, we're not going to pass any kid that doesn't deserve to be there.
Right.
But if we can help you by making sure that you have keys for the room where the ice is, see, it's just basic stuff. When we had this conversation, and look, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but you really love these kids.
Oh yeah,
you loved them.
Oh,
that's
the hardest part.
Yeah.
It's a step away from kids that you've developed relationships with, that quite frankly need you. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, what I brought to the table was something they hadn't had. You know, in regards to just like football.
Right.
You know,
and somebody who you know wanted to be there.
Right.
And knew what he was doing, and I'm going to stop it there because I could go on and on about it, but I commend you for trying it and wanting to go back and having the opportunity to go back.
Oh, yeah.
But to go back to doing what you did last year wasn't going to make any sense.
Well, but I'll tell you the factor. Right? You know, I know we're bumping up against a break, but Tech is a Division III school enrollment-wise in football. And they – you know, they add charter schools to that you get hardly any kids from, you know, and all of a sudden now you're Division II. Well, Tech decided to co-op next year with School of the Arts. So now Tech is 2,300 kids, you know, and, you know, if you make the playoffs, you're playing, you know, Muskegon, Marquette or somebody.
Right.
But here's the biggest reason. School of the Arts gets out at 3:55. Tech gets out at 2:45. We wouldn't start practice till 4:40, 4:45. I just think it's going to be a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
I just do.
Well, and I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't want to have to bring it up.
Yeah, and
but
it's,
Coach, it makes no sense.
It didn't.
No, it
doesn't.
But
nobody cared what I thought. You know what I mean? Nobody cared.
Well, that's, you know what? Again, getting back to the administration of where I've coached the last 4 years, who care? They want to know all of it. They want to be part of all of it, and you can see the success we had.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I'm not saying kids at School of the Arts or the charter schools shouldn't play, but put them on schools that are already Division One, that you're not going to take, you know, schools out of where they belong, you know, play at a school that already is Division One.
And somebody who maybe is a little closer and closes school a little bit closer.
Yeah, you would think you'd want your schools to end at the same time.
What would your kids do for 2 hours?
I don't know, and that scared the death out of me. And that's a long conversation I had with the athletic director.
We're going to get to a break. Dan Brunner, I can't believe we're going to have to cut him short, but yeah, he's the executive director for the WFCA. We'll talk to him on the other side. This is the Pick and Save WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You mess with one man, you got a song. The boys are falling.
Oh, welcome back to the Pick and Save WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member Tom Swiddle. We are now joined by Dan Brunner, executive director of the WFCA. Dan, how you been?
Good, Mike. Good.
Hey, thanks a lot for a couple minutes of your time. Can you tell us who the starting quarterback for Wisconsin is?
It's not Hornibrook.
There you go. No, it is not Hornibrook. He's Leroy Butler's all excited. They finally got somebody at Florida State that's played quarterback lately. So he's excited about that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about how the clinic has gone this year.
It's it was phenomenal. I was just really, really happy with how everything went. We had some great out-of-state high school guys who were just blown away by the clinic. We're so happy to be here. And, you know, our in-state guys were phenomenal. And we, you know, Tom can tell you, we concluded the speaker sessions last night with an awesome, high-energy guy, the coordinator for the Chargers, Gus Bradley. One of the finest sessions that we've ever had.
You know, Tom had talked about Gus Bradley.
Yeah.
And how great he was and what a good speaker and what a motivator he was. That's really cool. Hey, you're at the spring, one of the practices. You're at the Badger practice right now?
Yeah, I'm heading over there. It'll actually start at 11 right now. The Badgers are doing tours for the high school coaches, taking them through all the facilities, locker room, player lounge, the weight room, getting all our guys to get a firsthand, up-close view of all the renovations that have been done.
Hey, Dan, you know, one of the things that I brought up with Mike in the first segment where we kind of summarized the clinic a little bit as well, it kind of fell in a weird week this week, you know, with spring break being, you know, the week for many schools. Can you talk about, you know, how far out you have to book this clinic? And just to give people, like, it's not ideal, but we really don't have a choice, right?
No, you know, you run up against a number of things that we have to take into consideration. First and foremost, excuse me, we have to look at the availability at the hotel, and they give us a priority, but it's pretty much 5 years out. You have to book. We want to, you know, three things we want to do is avoid Easter, avoid boys basketball tournament, and avoid spring break. And, you know, I guess you really put two out of three in bad, but it's tough. I mean, you know, you got young coaches with families, and it's tough enough the time demands on their families during the football season. You know, and then when you come to spring break and they have to tell their wife and their kids, I don't think we're going anywhere because I'm going to Madison for the clinic. That gets a little rough over the dinner table. So we understand that with young coaches, and it's just the way it is, you know, and we don't have a lot of options there.
Yeah, and when you look ahead then, you know, probably the next several years, we're in good shape with all of that. You know, Easter being so late this year kind of is the monkey wrench in this.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you think, oh, you know, Easter's pretty far. We don't have to worry about Easter. Well, then when it's so late, the school districts bump up. You know, they don't tie their spring break into Easter. So, you know, that's where the dilemma is. But, yeah, you're right, Tom. in the next couple of years, I think we'll be in a better situation in terms of avoiding that spring break thing.
Dan, one of the finer things that happens at the clinic are the bashes. Talk a little bit about the Badger bash on Thursday night and then the high school bash on Friday night.
Yeah, and you know, where we get a lot of positive feedback is from these out-of-state coaches, either college or high school, and they tell us, you know, they haven't seen anything like this. You know, the bash is such it's a great informal gathering that takes place on Thursday and Friday night, as you said. And what we do one night, we'll have all of the Badger assistant coaches spread around the room with whiteboards and seats by their station, and they do a very informal chalk talk where, you know, it's up close and personal. Coaches can pick their brains and get specific questions answered in great detail that you don't get in a regular session. And you top it off, there's snacks and beer and soda and a cash bar there. And then we have a phenomenal guy, Jerry Gombieski, who runs a raffle during those two bashes. And they'll raffle off beer for a year. Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, this year we had a Badger helmet, all three Watt brothers on it, raffling off. And then phenomenal other prizes. If you don't win the 50-50 raffle, we've got other things. So it's just a great social gathering with a lot of intense football information mixed in. And then we do that on Friday night again, and instead of the Badger coaches being around the room, we have prominent high school coaches from around the state doing the same thing, spread out. You know, one guy does quarterbacks, one guy does DNs, one guy does O-line, another guy D-line, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a great way to end the day on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, you know, I have to laugh, Dan, because, I know, Mike, you got to hear Dan working the microphone as we're trying to hawk these raffle tickets and the things he says. It's so funny. But both nights, I had to go to bed. You know, I was worn out. And my wife, who's down there working the raffle with Jerry and the other people, you know, she comes in later than, you know, she's coming in later than I am because she is there to the bitter end. As I left the hotel this morning to come down to the show, Dan, I saw Jerry Gombieski, and he had the biggest smile on his face. He hit his goal for money, you know, the raffle, which all goes to what, Dan? What, when Jerry raises this, what does it go to?
Yeah. Goes to scholarships.
Scholarships.
That guy is one of the most selfless persons you will ever meet, and he's all about the WFCA and what, you know, you never have to ask him. He'll on a weekly basis say, "What do you need? What can I do?"
Yeah,
you know, it's like you can't do any more, Jerry. I mean, it's just he's phenomenal, and it goes toward our Hall of Fame scholarship fund.
Which last year, Mike, we gave 24 $1,000 scholarships.
Wow, that's awesome!
Isn't that something?
Yeah. To seniors?
To graduating seniors who's,
seniors,
you know, yeah. Anybody can get nominated for, but we obviously look at kids whose dads are members of the WFCA.
Sure. That's awesome.
Yeah. Not just football players. You know, we'll have guys that are managers. We'll have daughters who are student trainers or equipment managers or videographers, et cetera. So it's really great.
Hey, Dan, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Enjoy heading over to that practice. Are you coming back now tonight, or are you waiting until tomorrow?
Well, I'll be at the Hall of Fame banquet, and our plan is to come back in the morning.
Yeah, attaboy.
One of my former high school coaches, Frank Budish, is being honored at the banquet, so I'm hoping to spend some time with Frank after the banquet.
Boy, just if you've been around Milwaukee football at all, that if you don't know that name, man, you haven't been paying attention. That's one of the all-time greats right there, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. Hey, Dan, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, John Hoke will join us. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Mud and dirt and grass, it's, I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a song. The boys are falling.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. First one of the year. I love doing this show with Coach Tom Swiddle. We are presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Now joined by President-elect of the WFCA, John Hoke from Lancaster High School. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Bringing the end of the great clink that we have here, and just a great day.
Well, the Hall of Fame night, I was a part of that a couple years ago, and I got to tell you, it's something special. These guys that are going in tonight and being a part of this, and for the award that I got, Mark Stewart, and he really deserves it, writer for the Journal Sentinel, a big fan of his and the stuff that he does. Man, a special way to end the clinic is the Hall of Fame banquet.
Yes, it is. It brings everything to a end of our clinic of a great job that everybody on the executive board and Sharna, you can't say enough about that, and Dan and his wife, what they do, and then we put together the Hall of Fame, and we're going to have over 600 people here tonight to celebrate the induction of the Hall of Fame and the award winners we have this year.
Hey, John, before I experienced it, I was told about it by a number of guys. Joe Cook just raved about it. Tom Swiddle's raved about it. Ron Davies raved about it. And I would listen to the stories. But until you experience it, until you're in that room and you're hearing what's going on and seeing what's going on and feeling it, I don't know if you get a true idea of how just great this night is and how well it's run and how appreciative these coaches are, not only for getting the awards, but the guys in the crowd, how they're just so happy for the guys that are getting inducted and part of this Hall of Fame family that you guys have done. And I hope that you never take for granted how well it's run and how what a great night this is.
No, I came for many years. Some of my assistants got nominated, and I finally was able to get put in. But this wouldn't have all been possible without the leadership that Dick Rundle and him starting this Hall of Fame activity as far as our association and what he did. I'd be a little bit short if I didn't say about how Dick does, and it is a great event. It is just until you get there, it's amazing the little notes you get from people, and I didn't realize it was such a great honor. And how appreciative they are for being nominated and being selected. It's great.
A few years ago, Mike, we put Ron Wolf in, like yourself, you know, a service type award. Yep. For all the things that, you know, he's done for football. And he was so impressed by the Hall of Fame banquet that he actually had the people who do the Packer Hall of Fame banquet connect with Dick Rundle. And you should talk to the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association how they do it.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was that impressed.
Well,
so.
And I was as well, and my whole family. Do you know, my mom said, look, I thought I was going to a little banquet like at St. Peter and Paul. You know, I thought there'd be like, you know, 50 yeah. or 60 people. And she when I went over to the table before I got, you know, I sat at the table in the front, she said, what is going on here? Are you kidding me? And I said, what did you think? And she said, I really thought there'd be 50 or 60 people, and I was a little surprised we had to drive here, but wow, this is impressive. And she still talks about it,
yeah.
Tom. She still talks about that night and how impressive it was and how well run it was, and the food was good, and the people yeah. were all just really happy. And I hope that you guys that are in that bubble, you know, you're in that bubble, and so you're used to it, and you've been a part of it, and you see it. When people go there for the first time, it is really, really impressive. And
yeah.
I hope that you guys never take that for granted. John, this year's guys that are going in, that's a pretty impressive class going in this year.
Yes, it is. It's just amazing when you look at them and you go through it and how many years they have. I remember watching some of these guys coach and
win a lot of football games and then have the opportunity to be part of that selected them. And along with Tom, and there's a committee that gets together and selects them during the summer. And it's a whole year process, as you know, to get ready for this one night coming up. And but the crew that is going in is just unbelievable.
Hey, John, so you ran again, and you're going to be your president-elect of the WFCA. A lot of time and sweat equity goes in to doing all the things that you guys do with the WFCA. I appreciate the fact that you ran again and you're willing to put in the work to do this again.
Well, I really enjoy this association, and it wouldn't be – you wouldn't enjoy it if it wasn't for the people that are in the executive staff and, you know, with Dan, his leadership, and then also all the people that are on the executive board. You know, it's a good group of people to work with, and it's been fun. It's been fun. I've been involved in that for quite a few years now, and, you know, and that's what brought me back to it, and I just didn't want it to kind of, I don't know, go south. I just felt that I could still give us something here the second round.
Well, and, you know, John, I feel the same way. That's why I stay involved. It's the people. But the thing that has always impressed me is sort of the selfless kind of attitude the executive board and the region reps, you know, you can think about your situation at your school and try to just make it good for your school, you know, but nobody does that. It's like, what is best in the state for football? And you even have guys like Matt Bensfield, the coach at Kakwana, who with the new football only conference is in a situation that's going to be tough for, you know, Kakwana. But he even said, yeah, we're going to appeal where we've been placed, but I understand why we did this. You know, I mean, he gets it, you know, and to have guys like that involved is remarkable.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'd be a little bit short if I wouldn't say that with Wade Lebecki at WIA, the working relationship that has been developed over the last 5 to 10 years with him being the football person there at WIA, it's made it easier for us than it used to be, right, Tom?
Yeah, a lot easier.
Yeah. Hey, John, you know, and I'm a basketball coach, and I talk to coaches on a weekly basis, and it's easy to take shots at people at the WIA. It is. But Wade is a guy that I'm telling you, he gets it, and he works hard. He works for the WIAA, but he works for his members. And he doesn't, in my view, he doesn't always get it right, but he can explain himself as to why he's going the way he's going.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of his. I saw him up at the state basketball tournament and came over and congratulated me on the team that I was coaching and said, hey, look, you know, well done. I've been following you guys. And I said, well, that's pretty good for a football guy. He said, yeah, I follow all you guys. So I'm a big fan of his. So I'm really glad that you brought his name up. And the working relationship between the WFCA and the WIAA, it just makes life a lot easier when you guys are on the same page.
Definitely. And, you know, and honestly, it wasn't always like this. I'll guarantee you that. And that we kind of would go in there and kind of like, we want some. And they would kind of figure out a way. Of how we weren't going to get it right, Tom.
Yeah.
It almost felt like that, even though it probably wasn't. But
well, we would go in
with an open mind. And,
yeah. And, we would go in at times, and no kidding, we'd be like, all right, do we ask if this would have a chance of going? And if it does, then we would pursue it. I mean, it's like we were just like that. Like,
right.
You know, we were just always roadblocks
almost
for everything.
Like you were like in bars at 18. You knew the girl was going to say no. Why even go up and say hello? Hey, John, thank you so much. I appreciate your willingness to come on the show today. We're going to have to hit this break because we can't cut Mike Bartholomew short, man. You know he's going to have a lot to say.
I talked to him this weekend. He's one of the guys that are going in, and we're just happy to have him. And I appreciate what you do for football and what Tom and you do with this radio show. Dan taught me how to get it over in Lancaster through our phone system, or my wife does it. we're able to listen to it on Saturday, and it's fun to listen to.
John Hoke, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and we appreciate all the work that you do for the WFCA. Have fun tonight, and get home and relax a little bit tomorrow because I'm sure you'll be tired.
I will be. I've been back to work on Monday. So
there you go. That's John Hoke. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, going into the Hall of Fame tonight, Mike Bartholomew from Oak Creek. We're going to ask him, what's the weather like in Vegas? I'm sure he's dying to get back to the winners here in Wisconsin. This is the Pick and Save WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Newspaper clippings fill the coffee shops. The old men will always think they know it all. Young girls will dream.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coach Association. It's the boys of fall, man. Here we go. We're presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. I know it doesn't feel like fall, but you know what? For today, it is.
It is.
It's
fall.
The boys of fall because, man, when you get inducted into the Hall of Fame, it's a special, special night. And one of our friends, a guy from this area, from Oak Creek, father, big-time football coach, and now he's going to the Hall of Fame, the class of 2019, and he's a friend. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of the show, and I miss talking to him. He's in Vegas. He's all tan. He looks good. Whatever.
Oh,
he misses the winners. I don't care what anyone says.
Like right now, you and Bart could have a tan contest. I swear to God.
Yeah. You know what? 5 days in Mexico will do that to you. I got to tell you. Mike Bartholomew. Bart, what's going on, Coach? How are you?
Hey, it's a bit chilly today.
Yeah, whatever, man. Take your weak blood and get out of here if you think this is chilly, man. Hey, we welcome back to the state of Wisconsin. We miss you having you here, I got to tell you. But congratulations. What a big day for you and your family.
Well, I had a buddy of mine that I taught with at Oak Creek when he found this out. And he sent me a text message and said, it really is an award for you and because your wife is as much of a recipient of this. Just based on, you know, and this is a guy that I coached for many years, based on the sacrifice she makes, you know, and then your kids too, because, you know, you're not only raising your kids, but you're doing your best to raise, you know, 150 kids on a yearly basis. And, you know, it really is it's an award for everybody in our family.
Well, and I agree with that. And I think the WFCA does a great job of including spouses and family. And the way this thing is run, we just talked to John Hoke. And Mike, you've been to these before.
Yep.
I kept hearing about it, but I hadn't been to one. And the difference is now that I've been to one, you see it totally different. It's truly a celebration of not only the guys going in, but the entire state of Wisconsin. And the WFCA does a great job in this whole event as far as making sure that everybody feels special. My wife felt really special. We're sitting up at the table, and she was like, "What?" First of all, we're next to Paul Chris and his mom. And my wife's like, "Well, I don't think we should be sitting here." I said, "Me neither. I don't think we should be either." But they do a great job of including spouses because they understand the importance that our spouse and our family have to the programs that we work with.
Well, the WFCA is unique. Now, you know, having been in Las Vegas for a year, and I coached out there for this past year, and they have a smaller organization, but nothing that compares to the WFCA. I mean, it's not even close. The clinic, the point after, the All-State Awards, the academic All-State, you know, all the things that they do just to preserve and enrich the game of football in the state of Wisconsin, I don't think the general public doesn't understand all the things that go into that, but the coaches sure do.
Hey, is Dave Keel emceeing this thing tonight?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's really good. I was surprised.
He was working with one of my assistants for stories, and I think they were up till about 3 a.m. talking about that.
Yeah,
he won't remember any story. If he's up till 3 a.m., Bart, you don't have to worry. He won't remember any stories.
Hey, when I say I was surprised, I wasn't surprised because Dave Keel is so good. But boy, oh boy, you know what? He can MC a lot of things if he wants to because he was really, really good at it. And, you know, he even called me to find some stories on you, Bart.
Oh boy.
No, he didn't. I'm only kidding.
Hopefully we're going to stay PG-13.
Except for if there's a post party. You know, that's...
That's different.
Yeah, that might be a little bit different. Hey, how do you like living in Vegas? Is that a good place for you?
Well, it's a great fit. I've never been a fan of the winter. And my wife had a great opportunity. And like I said, she's put in so many sacrifices over the years. And she had a great opportunity to do something that she's always wanted to do in a really kind of a top-end situation. One of the top elementary or K-5 schools in the Lutheran system nationwide. And she's the principal at Faith, and she had that opportunity, and it was time, you know. And I was tired, to be honest with you, because being a head coach now, you know, it's year round and it's hard, and you know, and the teaching environment is not great as the way it used to be. And I'll not go any farther than that. You know, it was time for her to take off a little bit, and it's been a great move. I'm teaching part time. And I'm coaching out at Faith at the high school, and you know the guys on the staff at Faith they always tell me I'm the guy they aspire to be, you know, being able to be retired and still be coaching, and they're absolutely correct. It's a great situation.
Bart, why don't you give our listeners just an idea, you know, all those years here in the state coaching not only high school but at the collegiate level. And now you're out in Las Vegas, and you've got a taste for the high school scene out there in football. What are some things that jump out at you? Like, what's different? What's the same?
Well, you know, and the differences are, I would say the primary one is the amount of contact time we have with players out in Nevada. And to me, and I tell people all the time, the rule is that there are no rules. And there are rules. You can't be padded practicing year round, but you can be working your kids out, you know, in football specific activities, which would be, you know, I mean, unlike, you know, in Wisconsin, you have 5 days during the summer of that, where in Nevada, you can do that virtually year round if you choose to.
And you have spring practice, right, coming up?
And we have spring practice coming up in mid-May that will go for, I think we're going to go for 3 days, for 3 weeks. You know, and they regulate how many days you can pad up with that, you know, because the acclimatization, you know, all those rules are virtually nationwide. Wisconsin was on, you know, the WFCA was really one of the leaders with this acclimatization, which is good, you know, because anything for safety is a positive to me. You know, so, I mean, but we have spring practice. We're currently practicing twice a week right now at 6 a.m. You know, so it's just, and then during the summer, you know, we'll do a workout and then we'll, you know, we'll do an hour, you know, an hour and a half, you know, speed and strength, workout. And then we'll kind of, you know, then we can do position specific stuff for a half hour, you know, or team things for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes.
Hey Bart, does that burn these kids out a little bit in your eyes?
I think it can. The head coach, I work for Vernon Fox. He played in the NFL. And he is like one of the greatest guys I've ever been around. And he gets that whole part, that component of, you know, keeping the kids fresh. And, you know, and our practices are never longer than 90 minutes. And I'm a big believer in that. You know, if you're a teacher, hey, there's only so much, you know, there's only so much you can pour into their brain. And then they revert back to being teenage boys, which, you know, they're thinking about girls, you know.
Yeah,
so,
even old guys sometimes think like that.
Even
Bart,
the coaches
me,
are out there on the field thinking that.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, after we take a nap, then it's okay.
hey, Coach, we got to let you go. We're really proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to that Hall of Fame family of the WFCA. Well-deserved, you and your wife and family. And, man, congratulations. Soak it all in tonight, Coach.
I'm planning on it. I've been told by a number of people, and I think the neatest thing is that, you know, I get to join my dad there.
That's awesome.
That's just an incredible, incredible situation.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Bart, welcome back to the state of Wisconsin, and Let us know next time you get in this side of the border, and we'll get you in studio.
Hey, I will, but I'm looking for warmer weather next time, though.
Oh, you're such a wuss. What happened to you? You used to be one of the tough guys. What happened?
Hey, I'm telling you, I'm tough when it's 115 outside now.
Attaboy. Hey, it's good talking to you. Congratulations, Bart. Hey, we'll get to a break. Other side of the break, Doug Sarver will join us. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Football Coaches Association. Wisconsin Football Coaches Association, presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. Our next guest, he is the president until July.
Till July.
And he's also the All-Star Game chairman. He is Doug Sarver, the retired football coach at St. Francis. That's weird to say, man.
That is very weird.
He's been the football coach there for a while.
Yeah.
How long, Doug, how long were you the head football coach at St. Francis?
29 years, Mike.
How many years?
29.
Man, good for you. Good for you. How does it feel? You know, this time of year, you start thinking about, okay, August coming up. No problems with it so far, but closer we get might be difficult for you.
Well, I tell you, I'm keeping pretty busy with the WFCA and also being the athletic director at St. Francis now. It's keeps me pretty busy, so I don't have a lot of time to think about it.
No, but it's
he'll still be there, Mike, on Friday nights for games at St. Francis. It's just that he's going to be doing other things as an athletic director, and
he's going to be watching some of it though, thinking, hold on a second, maybe you should run the ball right now, or maybe you know that's coming. Hey, Doug, the 2-year deal on being the president, this has been a difficult 2 years. There's been some transition with football conference and things like that. How are you holding up through all this?
Great, Mike. It's been a great experience, really. I know it's been tough at times. You know, sometimes you have to answer some questions and some concerns, but that comes with the job, and I'm fully aware of that when I took the job.
You know, Doug, you know, having done that myself and being, you know, president for a couple of years and being involved in the association as long as I have been, you sort of have different benchmarks for guys, you know, things that they deal with. And I can honestly say of all the presidents that I've had the pleasure to work with through the years, I think you and John Hoke, John with the district plan when that came about, and you with the football-only conference stuff, probably had the hardest things to work with or work for while president.
Yeah, you know, it definitely was a challenge. We accepted that challenge in 2017 to do the statewide football conference only restructuring. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that come with that. You learn a lot more about the state, a lot more about the programs in the state, and meet a lot of different people. One thing that I've said all along is whether they agreed, disagreed, or somewhere in between, everyone in the association has been very professional and very respectful during this time.
Yeah. And describe your relationship with the WIAA, Doug. Again, I think under your leadership as president, I don't think the WFCA and the WIAA has ever worked closer, or I'll just say it, have had a better relationship than one that currently exists.
Well, it's definitely grown through this process. Wade Lebecki and Dave Anderson, Todd Clark have been involved in somewhat, Wade the most, and we have had nothing but support from them throughout the process. And we also have given back and exchanged a lot of different views and information, and that's something, and I like to call it unprecedented, what's going on here. I don't think this has ever been this much partnership with the WI by any sports association in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that's really important, and for people to understand that, you know, like John Hoke and Tom Swiddle talked about a couple of segments ago, there was a time where you walked into some of these meetings knowing that no matter what you asked for or said, they were going to say it's probably not going to happen. And to be able to get to where it's at, and I'm a big Wade Lebecki fan because I think he gets it and he understands it. And he's been on the front lines on some of this stuff. And I certainly think that, you know, through your leadership and his leadership, to be able to bring these two organizations a little bit closer together for the common goal. I mean, that's what this is. It's for the common goal. And it's for, you know, the members of the WIAA. Now, look, you're not going to make everybody happy. And certainly you've realized that, Doug, that there's not everybody's going to love you for this thing. But certainly the fact that most people understand the reason behind it is the key.
Yeah, again, they all understand that this is the bigger picture, is to do what's best for the state of Wisconsin. And everybody, even the ones that disagree, will say that, you know, but they're just not happy with their placement, and I understand that. Getting back to Wade and Dave, you know, they were both football coaches, and Wade was president of our association at one time, so they do get it and they do understand. It makes it a lot easier to work with them.
Yeah. Now, Doug, I don't want to get into the football only conference stuff because our next show in 2 weeks, you'll actually be sitting in my chair, and we will have Wade Lebecki on, and that'll be right before the final vote for the football-only conference, and I know you and Wade will have a lot to talk about at that time. But something that you're also in charge of is the All-Star Game, and I'm just wondering if you could give us an update on how all the preparations, which, again, is a year-long thing. This, you know, you don't just start on July 1st, start preparing for the All-Star Game. How has the off-season, I'll call it, for the All-Star Game been?
Well, of course, the executive board, we select our coaches in November, head coaches, and then they select their staff from nominations. And then there's the nominations of the players. They'll go through all kinds of film and recommendations and evaluation of their players for their teams, and their players are selected by January. And then in March, we have the player fundraising meetings with Children's Hospital. So that's where we're at now. They're in their fundraising part. And if you go to chw.org/WFCA, you can check out all of that about the All-Star Game.
Doug, give us an idea, and you know, obviously I know because I've been the head coach in the All-Star Game twice, so I've gone through a couple of those meetings, you know, with Children's Hospital, with the fundraising. Give our listeners an idea what those meetings are about, like what happens there.
Well, they'll come in. All of the players in the north will meet at one site, and all of the players in the south will meet at another site, separate weekends. And the Children's Hospital will give their presentation and what the fundraising is all about and how to do it. And then we'll introduce the coaching staffs. And then the coaching staffs and the players will break out to separate rooms and go through the expectations that those staffs have for the players, while the WFCA and Children's Hospital people stay in the theater and answer questions from moms and dads.
Hey, Doug, one of the young men that was on my basketball team at Greendale Martin Luther is part of this, Darius Crowley-Reed, and he's so excited to be part of this, and he's talked about, you know, the steps and the meetings he's been in and some of the guys across the table that, you know, he competed against that he didn't like much, and now he's, you know, hey, they're not such bad guys, coach. And I said, well, now they're on your team, Darius. There's the key. But he's really excited, and to see it firsthand with a young man that I got a chance to spend time with every day during basketball, and to see him how excited he is to be part of this and wants to just get going. Let's put the helmet on, put the pads on, and let's go play. But he understands the bigger picture of this whole thing, and I think that you guys have done a great job of making at least this young man, and I'm sure others, understand that it's more than just this football game that's going to be played. It's all the other things around it, and the bottom line is we're raising money for a great cause.
And that's right, Mike, and we're really happy to have Darius as part of this game, and it will be probably the best experience of his life until, you know, up to this point. So we were looking forward to having him in July, that first week of practice when the players come in and we bring the patients in. We'll bring some of the patients into practices and interact with the players, and that's when they really start to realize what this game is for and why we are fundraising.
Well, this young man that we're talking about was one of the captains on our basketball team, didn't start, came off the bench, didn't get a ton of time, was probably our sixth or seventh guy, and he was the guy that was getting up in front of our team down the stretch. We as coaches would talk pregame, and then he'd kick us out. He kicked us out, and he said, okay, I need 2 minutes, and he would address the team. And this is the kind of kid that is going to – he will just thrive in an environment like this All-Star game. As far as playing, he's a really good player, but all the other things – he will make you guys very proud. He'll be a great ambassador for Wisconsin high school football.
Yeah, that's great to hear, Mike.
We will. Exactly.
You know, and what's great about this All-Star game experience, and there are a lot of Dariuses on that team.
You know, bet.
That's the kind of kid who has risen to the top as both a player and a leader, and, you know, is involved in school, and, you know, is a kid that students look up to. I mean, that's the typical, it seems for me anyway, the All-Star player that gets picked. So,
hey Doug, how's practice going? Are you at the practice right now?
Yeah, I'm staying outside the McLean Center so I can get better reception. So I've been over at practice, and then we'll go back in after this interview is done.
You walk up to Coach Chris to let him know that Mike McGivern wants to know who the starting quarterback is. Okay.
In fact, that's one of the things I wanted to go over. I wanted to go over and watch the quarterback today. I wanted to see the new freshman and check him out.
There you go.
Well, are a lot of guys there, Doug? A lot of coaches made it, I would assume.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded.
Oh, great. That's great.
Good. Hey, Doug, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. I'll see you in studio in 2 weeks. Looking forward to that.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Doug.
You got it. Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Don?
Kenzior.
I got it. Dad Kenzior from Luck High School. He's going to the Hall of Fame tonight. We're going to talk to Don on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I'm talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's I got your number, I got your back when your back's against the wall. You mess with one man, you got a soul.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coach Association show presented, as always, by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern. Alongside, he is the past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, Tom Swiddle. Hey, Coach, our next guest. Big night for him, man. Big yeah. night from Luck High School. He's going into the Wisconsin Hall of Fame tonight. Hey, Don, how you doing today?
Doing really well. Thank you.
Man, congratulations. What a great honor and award. And I hope that you're going to take this all in tonight and remember every minute of it.
Well, I will for sure. I mean, when I got selected and was told by John Polk, I was just elated. You know, it's a great honor, and I'll represent the WFCA well.
Hey, Coach, how long are you still coaching at Luck?
No, I'm not. I'm retired, and I'm volunteering at Bruce, and I possibly could go back and volunteer. I can't get away from it. I just like love the game too much, and do it for nothing.
Hey, how long were you at Luck?
I was at Luck 26 years, and I was head coach there 14 years.
So you were part of the transition to have Luck go to 8-man, correct?
That was correct. About 7-8 years ago, I do believe, we started looking at, because our numbers were going from, we started at 36 a couple years before that, and then we dropped down to 18. So we knew that we just didn't have the numbers. We just didn't have the boys in the lower elementary coming through.
You know, you're understating it just a tad, Mike. Not only did he oversee Luck getting involved in 8-man football, but really, Don has been the driving force in the state for 8-man football. He's been our leader for that. He's involved with the football advisory. He's involved with the executive board. I don't know, you probably had a report out on eight-man football at various meetings this, the past 2 days at the clinic, probably three or four times being asked what's going on. So, I mean, Don's name is synonymous with eight-man football in the state. He is the man for that.
That's awesome. You have to be proud then, Don, that last year the WIA named their first state champion, and Sevastopol won that eight-man state championship. It's funny, I do a segment for a TV show called Around the Corner with John McGivern, and we are up on the quiet side of Door County, and I talked eight-man and talked to their coaches and highlighted their program, and I predicted it was, I think they were in week 7 or 8, and I predicted that they had a chance to win this thing. And they went out and won it, and the guy called me, their coach called me that night. He said, "You predicted it. We went and took care of that business for you." And he was so happy. He said, "Mike, no matter whatever happens in the rest of these kids' lives, they know that they're a state champion, the first ever in eight-man football." And it was really, really cool for them.
Yeah, you know, I'm very proud of the progress that we've made in eight-man football. Like 6 years ago, we only had 16 teams participating, and in 2020 we'll have 48, and we'll jump this year into a 16-team tournament. And like you said, it was phenomenal to see the first eight-man ever be crowned champion. I would rather have seen Luck. They took a runner-up, but we'll see next year. They only lose two guys, and they're already working pretty hard just to get back.
Oh, it was Luck. Champion. It was Luck that they won in that they beat in that final, correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
I believe it was 38-30. It was a great ball game.
That's a low-scoring game for eight-man football, yeah. Don, isn't it?
Well, it really is, because I've played in the Jamboree, and we scored 110 in one game, and we gave up 64. That's why we had to keep scoring.
That was the year you changed defensive coordinators, wasn't it?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You know, it not only has eight-man football now taking center stage, if you will, for a state championship, but Don also oversaw eight-man football becoming part of the All-Star game situation. Don, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, when we first started eight-man, like I said, 6-7 years ago, I took the bull by the horns, and we started our own eight-man All-Star game. I got a hold of a coach down south. He put a team together. We put a team together. We played at Rice Lake. Then the second year, we went down to Middleton and played a second game, and then that's when I asked the WFCA would they be interested in having an extra game for the All-Star game. And they, you know, rolled out the red carpet for us. It was phenomenal what WFCA has done for eight-man football. And we've played, I do believe, four games now at Oshkosh the last 4 years.
You know, it was my first glimpse ever of eight-man football was that first All-Star game in Oshkosh, Don. And I just remember being on the sidelines and just, you know, soaking it all in. And you know, it's football. I mean, and Don always says that, you know, this is good football. And it is good football. You know, it's just with eight guys rather than 11. And it's just a different game. But, boy, it just looks like fun to play.
Hey, and, Don, there's been now the last couple of years, there's been some guys that play in eight-man that have gotten full-ride Division I scholarship. Guys that are playing all over the state and throughout the country that played eight-man in the state of Wisconsin are now playing 11-man at the next level.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that, because I've just walked out of the Badger practice and I'm looking at Lodermilk from Kansas and I'm looking at Gabe Lloyd from Green Bay New Luther, both eight-man players. And they'll probably, well, I know Lodermilk for sure will start for the Badgers again this year, and Gabe Lloyd's, I think, second or third on the depth chart at tight end. So, yeah, it's real football, and I'm kind of biased on it, but, God, I almost feel sometimes you got to be a better athlete in open space to play eight-man football.
So just to give our listeners a visual that hasn't seen eight-man football, basically what positions are eliminated from an 11-man game?
Well, what's eliminated is your two tackles and you're a guy in the backfield. I mean, with schools that only have enrollments under 200 and some, you know, under 100, it's pretty tough to get, you know, a lot of kids out for football. And a lot of times they don't have the bigger athletes out there. So an eight-man game is you're using more quicker guys. You still can use your bigger guys, but, you know, you don't want to really use much of them on defense because it's a wide-open game.
Yeah, you're chasing.
And the field you play on is reduced. What are the actual dimensions of an eight-man field?
I do believe that it's 7.5 yards in on each sideline. And I don't know the dimensions, what it would be across, but then.
So that's a 48-yard width field.
Right.
Yep. And that, you play, was it 80 or 100 yards, Don?
Well, you can play 80, but to make it easier for playoffs and all that and have neutral sites, they've gone to 100 yards, just like 11, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Don, for let's get a couple of questions before we get to a break. This event tonight where you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, will you start to think about all the past things that have gone on in your career and a number of people that have motivated you and helped you and molded you into the coach that you were? I'm sure that all that has things that you're going to think about tonight as this event goes on.
Well, I've been already thinking about it quite a bit, and it's ironic that one of the assistant coaches that's getting inducted is Jim Harris. And I had Jim as my first coach down in Richland Center. And then my second coach was Bill Forrester from River Falls.
Yep.
And he's also getting inducted tonight, too. So it kind of came full circle. And I can't wait to see those guys and just reminisce about the past. Yeah, there is a lot of coaches. And I've got, you know, many congratulations, you know, from them at the clinic. And it's just an honor.
Well, Coach, again, congratulations. Enjoy this event tonight, and it certainly is a highlight to a great career. And we thank you from this show for everything you've done for 8-man football. And like you said, it's real football. If you don't think it's real football, go try to play it, because I'll tell you what, you're going to get hit, and you're going to understand it's real football. It's just on a little bit of a smaller field. But these kids give every bit as much sweat equity into their programs as guys that play 11, man.
Well, I appreciate the compliments, and then I will still get in everything tonight.
That's excellent. Thank you much,
Don.
Coach. Yep, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Tom.
Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Tony Biola, past president. He's got the combine coming up.
He does.
What's the dates on that?
April 27th. And we'll be there,
we'll
right?
We'll be out there. Hopefully. Yeah. You remember that one year it didn't go so well because something happened with our equipment. But, yeah, the last few years we've been out there, and we definitely – it's a great event for us to watch. I like it when the big offensive linemen go walking out.
The big hosses.
The big hogs are all – man, there are some big boys at that thing. And we will talk with Tony on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back the butterflies, it's calling in the air around, yes sir, we want the ball.
Welcome back to the WFCA show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Tom, before we get to our next guest, there's a new restaurant opening up, Highway 100 National, called Blaze Pizza. It's called Blaze's. And I tell you what, man, I love the people that run it. And locally owned, operated, West Dallas restaurant. Anyone who visits, it opens on Monday, April 1st. But if you visit on the 5th from 10:30 to 9 p.m. and you follow the brand on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, you're going to receive a free build-your-own pizza. So don't forget, grab a freshly made salad, a orange lemonade, or certainly the pizza. They got a lot of desserts, too. I got to stay away. Maybe I'll try the pizza, but I got to stay away.
I'll start a diet a week from now.
Yeah, a week from now. Again, April. They open up on April 1st, Highway 100 National, and April 5th from 10:30 to 9 p.m. If you follow the brand on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, you get a chance to receive a free build-your-own pizza. And make sure you head over there. Awfully good food, and it's a really nice, beautiful new location, Highway 100 and National. Hey, our next guest. Combine's coming up, huh?
Oh, boy, is it ever.
Yeah, you don't think he's busy doing this stuff,
do you? No, he's got nothing going on.
Tony Biola, past president. God, he's just sitting in a chair just waiting for the combine to happen, yeah. I'm sure. He's the coach of Wisconsin Rapids. Coach, how you been?
Good.
Man, thanks a lot for a couple of minutes of your time. So let's talk dates. When is the combine?
Saturday, April 27th.
At Sussex Hamilton?
At Sussex Hamilton, yep. We will kick it off 8 o'clock. The big boys come in, all offensive line and the defensive line. And they start at 9 o'clock. 8 o'clock is their registration. Then we just stagger the registration for the rest of the groups all the way through the day. Linebackers are next at 10, running backs 11:30. Wide receivers, DBs at 1, and the quarterbacks, tight ends wrap it up at 2:30.
Boy, you always let those pretty boys come in late, huh? You let them sleep in a little bit?
They do. They gotta look good.
Yeah.
You know? And they're pretty fortunate. They get Coach Tricky comes in and does a little bit of quarterback work with them at the end too.
How many? What's the numbers this year, Coach?
Right now we're just around 500. So we usually get a surge right after the state football clinic, which we just finished up with. So we reminded the coaches at the clinic, to get their kids registered for the combine, because we usually cap it about 600. So I would say within another week or so, it'll be capped up.
That'll be it.
And Tony, a decision was made after last year's combine to sort of restructure the players that come. So current freshmen to be sophomores were eliminated from being able to sign up for the combine. I'll let you, give the reasoning for that. But are you surprised that our numbers are still so big and we've eliminated, an entire group that in the past has participated?
I am. I'm pleasantly surprised. I really wasn't sure. Out of the recommendations from the college coaches that we were getting, it's a great experience for those younger kids, but they just all said there's time for those guys, and the college guys weren't getting as much out of seeing the younger kids. They really wanted to see a few more seniors, a few more juniors that they, or this year's sophomores, this year's juniors, next year's juniors and seniors. So they really could view some people and, get some plans made. So we did. We made the decision to eliminate those incoming sophomores. I wasn't sure what the numbers would be. I thought, maybe we'd be between 450, 500, but we're right back to where we normally were. So I get, it works out. It's working out great. The college guys are going to get to see a few more. We're going to be able to put a few more Wisconsin kids on the map with colleges and make some connections there.
Tom, what I like about that is this is a really successful combine. And it has been for the last couple of years really successful. Yet you guys are still looking at ways to tweak it to make it better. And I love the idea of eliminating that age. They still have 3 years to get involved.
Right.
Right? So they still can get involved. They're going to have to sit this one out. And to be able to get other kids, sophomore, junior, seniors, to get a chance to be seen and get a chance to be put on the map like Tony just talked about. Look, even though the thing has been really successful, you're looking at ways to make it even better, which I really commend.
Well, and one of the things that, and this is a compliment to Tony, you have to understand something about Tony. He is perhaps the most organized man I know. I'm not kidding you. If he had any task, it's going to be done really, really well. And the combine is a reflection of that. But what I really like about Tony is the fact that, he makes those connections with the college coaches. He asks them, what do you think?
Right.
A lot of guys don't do that, right? They're not going to take that extra step. And, Tony has built this thing up where we'll get about 100 college coaches there live, at the combine. We have players that will come in and get offers right there that day.
Yep.
From the college coaches that attend.
Hey, Tony, what kind of response do you get from most of these guys? And now that the template is set, a lot of these guys that come every year, they plan on being here. Are you able to get some guys that in the past might not have come to understand the importance of getting to this combine?
Yeah, the college guys, it's on their map. They're calling us and trying to figure out when it's going to be, and we get that date out to those guys well ahead of time. I know last year we had to move it up a week, and there was a few guys that actually ended up moving their spring game to Friday night so they could fly in Saturday morning just to see our kids and get a look at them. And Tom's right. Every year kids will walk away with scholarships in hand, or new offers that weren't even on the radar prior to or within the week afterwards. There's always between 5 and 7 new scholarship offers that are put out there for guys.
And Tony, can you think, again, you're much more involved in this than I am, but I don't know any other state that does this. I mean, that is run by a state organization that, you know, is taking the time and effort to put together a combine. Now, there's a lot of combines that are out there that, you know, they can pay big money to go to
right.
with the supposed, you know, you're going to get looked at. But right. Can you think of any other states that do it the way we do? Because I'm not aware of any.
No, I'm not aware of any. I know Minnesota. I've talked to the Minnesota Coaches Association and talked to the Michigan guys. Now, I know Coach Brunner, when he was at the National Convention, had made some connections, and those guys were asking him just a lot of different things about our association. I mean, from banquets to how we do everything. And they inquired on the combine. So we've talked to them. I mean, there's people that are trying to do what we're doing, but I mean, I think ours has been well established, and it does, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say it's because of our state coaches. It's the endorsement from statewide from the coaches that send the kids there. And then we have just a ton of state coaches that come down and volunteer their day just to run those kids around and contribute to that. And I think that's a credit to our association. It's a credit to our coaches, and just it tells you where our coaches' hearts are at, because they're all about the kids.
You know, I always, who's traveled the farthest to get here? You know, I love looking at that. I mean, we've got guys that come in, players from Superior, and we get college coaches that are four or five states away that will make that a destination place to come. And again, I think that's wonderful, and it's exactly what we want to get out of our combine.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Tony, does the April 27th date work out for most college coaches? Again, you had talked about last year. There was a couple that it made it a little bit difficult on. April 27th is a better date?
It is, yep. That last weekend in April tends to be better for them. Most of them have their spring game that week before. I think there was one college actually ended up moving their date back, but I know they're working on a Friday night date also. And yeah, we expect to have just as many, if not more, college coaches and colleges represented this year now, as we have had in the past.
Yeah. If you're thinking about, if you're a coach thinking about having some of your kids get involved in this, you need to get going now. They have 500 signed up. They're going to cap it off at 600. And like Tony said, after the clinic, a lot they're going to fill that up fairly quickly. Go to the WFCA website. All the information you need is on that website to get these kids lined up. What's the cost involved, Tony?
I believe it is $60, $60 or $70 for the combine, and then we offer our online profile also with that they can enroll with.
And that's $100.
That's an extra $100, yeah.
Yeah.
And that gets them all the information, gets college coaches from all over the country information on these kids.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to get there early enough this year to get one of those shirts. Every year.
That's right.
Hey, get one of those big boy sizes put aside, because every year I get there and it's like, oh, we just ran out. So I'm going to show up the night before, and I'm going to sleep outside and see if I can get my hands on one of those shirts, because those are nice shirts that you guys hand out to these guys.
You bet. All right, we'll save one for you.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. He is Tony Biolo. He is, again, WFCA Combine Chairman. He does a great job. If you've not been, last year there were a lot of parents and spectators at that thing. Just kind of hanging out, and I think they were there because Tom and I do the show there.
I think so.
I got to believe none of them were there for that. Tony, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time. Let's get to a break. Other side of break, we'll wrap this up. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about all the things we've talked about in a nutshell, all going on at WFCA, and you know what? We haven't visited for a while. Why we do this show,
right?
And let's touch on that before we get out of here. This is the Pick and Save. Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stake Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got us all. The boys are fall.
You know why I picked this song, right?
I do.
Yeah, I watched the video. I had two family members when I was put in that videotaped, and that I didn't know the song. I'm not a country western guy. Didn't know the song. Went back and looked at it, and I watched the video. Well, if you watch the video, it's hard not to tear up.
I was just going to say that. I the first time I heard the song, I was like, who does this song? You know, what, you dummy, don't you? And I went and watched the video, and I was the exact same way. I mean, it was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
Yeah, because it's really it says a lot about that group.
Yeah.
You know, the group of players that will go to war together. And, what was said in the beginning of that, you know, the coach that was Sean Payton was in the locker room saying, look, what I wouldn't give to put the uniform on with you boys one more time and understand how important Friday nights are.
Yeah.
And it goes quick. It goes quick.
It does.
Yeah. Hey, the reason we do this show, Coach, and we talked about it a few years ago, but we haven't really a number of years ago. I don't know if this is year five, year six.
I think
six,
it's year five.
Year
perhaps.
Five.
Yeah.
And you came to me and said, look, I believe, and nobody else, there's a handful of us that believe this, that football's never been safer. Look, it's a violent sport. There's going to be injuries. But what the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association is doing to prevent as many injuries as we can is really mind-blowing, and nobody's telling the story. And I appreciate you walking in my front door here. You called me and said, I got an idea I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was taking summers off there for a bit.
Yeah, Swiddle. You were.
Yeah, thanks for, you know. I'm only kidding, because this is a really important show. And I get more response from the things that you guys do outside of August to November. You know, that what the WFCA stands for and the things that you guys spearhead is incredible. And I don't know if other outlets tell the story the way we do, but boy, we do highlight, promote, and celebrate the WFCA through this thing.
We do, and just the value of football. And, you know, it's under attack. It still is. I mean, you know, 5 years ago when you and I talked about the idea of having a radio show, football was under attack. It still is. And it's like if they, you know, if for every media outlet that's going to say something about football, you know, hey, there's another side to that that never gets an opportunity to say anything. You know,
right.
when somebody like Barack Obama, a man who I respect, I mean, I think he was a great president, I really do. But, you know, if I had sons, I don't know if I would let them play football. Well, you know what? That's a speculation because you don't have sons.
Right.
So you don't know what you would say.
Correct.
If your son wanted to play football.
You know what? I was listening to a different national radio show, and this and the one announcer, they had a guest on. And the announcer was talking kind of the same way. You know what? I have a son. I'm not going to allow him to play football. Their guest said, look, I have to tell you something. I'm 28 years old, and I played football. I played football all the way through high school. And I was never the best player in the field. I got on the field. I got to play. But it has molded and it has shaped who I am today, and let me tell you why. And he went into a I wish I could find it,
right,
Coach, because we would play it on this show. He said from learning how to lose, from learning how to win, from being a teammate, from being a good teammate to a bad teammate, to understand what it's like to come through those locker room doors as a unit after we've beaten on each other all week, now we get to do that on somebody else. And to do that as a group of young men, he goes, it was the most important thing my parents did to allow me and make me, because I didn't want to play. They made me go play for a year to see how I liked it. And he just completely went against the guy that he was with.
Yeah.
And he was the guest. The other guy ran the show. And he said, you're totally wrong. And he said, he and in a different state, I think he was in Pennsylvania. And he said, look, That what's going on right now with youth football under attack, as you talked about, is look at the group that you're going to go play with or for, and find out if they understand the importance of not hitting every practice, of not going long two-a-days and all of that. And the guy was on fire for one of the reasons he is who he is today was because of youth and high school football.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, Doug Sarver and I spoke. The Green Bay Packers put together a youth forum, and we're actually going to have some people from that forum on the show later in the season. But there was over 45 youth organizations from around the state at this thing, and it was just open dialogue. Wade Lebecki spoke. There's a doctor who's going to be on the show who spoke that, you know, the other side of the concussion thing. And, you know, and there is an awareness. If nothing else, you know, the media attacks has made football more aware of marketing and how, you know, what do you do to keep the sport in the forefront and get people interested in, you know, continuing to play and so on. But there's just some really exciting things going on out there. And one thing that Wade Lebecki always points out, and he does a great job with numbers, as you know.
Yes.
And Wade said, you know, football participation is down, but so is the general population of high school age kids. You know, so the, you know, football participation has always been in the 9 to 10% area. So like if a school has 1,000 students, you know, 10% of those kids are probably playing football,
right?
Right. And, you know, that has been consistent for the last 16 years. You know, but what's happened is there's fewer kids in high school, so the numbers are down, but the percentage playing is still the same.
No, I've never heard that,
right,
Tom.
But nobody does. Why would somebody who wants to hammer football say that,
right?
And think of all the guests we've had, Mike. We've had some great guests on the show, doctors and, you know, people who have done research and things, given the other side of the story, you know, and, you know, it's that kind of thing that this show is about.
You know, and I tell this, and I've never asked you if it's okay, so maybe I'll ask you this on the air, but I'll say, look, Coach Swiddle has a son and a daughter. Son's played football his whole life. He played high school. He was a quarterback. He got hit a lot. Daughter was a Division I soccer player. She got concussions, couldn't play. He's never had one.
Right.
And this is a kid who was on the front line.
Yeah.
And he was all of about, you know, 6 foot, about a buck 50,
yeah,
you know, 6 foot maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Now he's, well, he's, yeah, he's about 5'11", 168 now, and he's his third year of college.
Man, so. He's getting thick.
Yeah,
that
he is.
Young boy's getting thick. But he's, you know what, he took a lot of hits running your offense as a quarterback.
Right.
And he was never afraid to stick his nose in there, ever. But your daughter played soccer.
Yeah,
nobody talks about that.
Right.
Nobody.
Because it doesn't support the media kind of, you know, picture they want to paint about. It's like if they have nothing to talk about, let's hammer football.
Right.
And that's the thing that gets me personally.
Well, I know you hate the guy, but fake news right there, man. I know. Hey, I really appreciate this. So you will not be with me in 2
Correct.
Weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Doug Sarver, where
Doug
are you going to be?
I'm going to be at the Michigan Tech spring game watching my son play.
How's he doing?
He's doing really well.
Yeah, has he got a chance? He'll play a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
What, defense?
He's a cornerback now.
He is.
Yes.
He went from quarterback to corner.
Yeah,
now he gets to hit people.
Now he gets to hit people, yeah.
Man, tell him I said hi.
I will definitely do that.
Excellent. This has been a great kickoff to every other week. We'll do the WFCA show. And next week I'm bringing 9 seniors in for Martin Luther basketball.
Oh, that'll
be
neat.
That's what I'm hoping. Hopefully they'll all come in. A couple of these guys don't like talking much, but a couple of them do. So, and then we're going to do baseball every other week alongside the WFCA show. Thanks for listening. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hi, this is Seth Payne. I played a long time in the NFL, and now I talk about it 3 times a week on the Deceptively Fast podcast. I bring you the biggest football stories in a lighthearted but in-depth manner, but also the world of health and fitness and a bunch of interviews with successful people from all walks of life. You're going to hear from current players and coaches, as well as my former teammates and experts from the national media. Subscribe today. It's the Deceptively Fast podcast on radio.com.